Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey!
Hello and welcome back to Babysitting Trevor.
Episode 5.
Season 4.
Carl Donnelly on my right.
Chris Martin to my left.
That's all you need to know. If you'd like to know which direction we're sitting.
Yeah.
Am I always
on
the left?
We're sitting opposite each other.
That would make more sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's weird that we are just sitting Parisian style, isn't it?
Sitting like we're looking
at. Do you ever do that? Have you ever had dinner with somebody that's
Parisian?
Sat side by
Is it called Parisian style?
I've heard it referenced. I don't know if that's a real phrase. Somebody has said it when I've been with them, and I just took it as gospel.
It's like a football stadium style, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, good. But we are sitting side by side.
Side by side.
Staring forwards.
We are waiting for the imminent arrival of our friend Trevor Crook.
Our friend, our patient.
He needs more help than us, I've discovered. Yes, the task for this week was we went to a blues bar together,
yes.
Which was... you know, interesting to a degree. But then last night, I also went for a meal with him.
This was not just a general...
This is like a...
Because you know, I've been hanging out with him quite a bit you've been away.
We went for just an Italian meal together, and this is interesting in its own right.
Yeah.
So I will mention that in the podcast.
Okay, cool.
But I think I don't know how much he liked the blues, but I don't think he liked the blues bar that much. It wasn't even me.
I wasn't a massive fan,
I'm not a big music aficionado, yeah. But I could tell it wasn't great.
Well, I really loved the bar, but the band that we saw were not much cop.
No, they weren't good. We'll see what Trevor thinks.
Yeah.
Imminently.
Welcome back, Trevor.
Yeah, I made it. I very tired. I couldn't get out of bed. Did I? Absolutely fucking drained. It must be that fucking sound bullshit.
It's still in your system.
Sure, it wasn't the fact you were up really late watching the cricket.
Oh well, that could have been it.
What time did you get to bed, Trev?
Last night. I watched it till lunch. So that's probably 2:30, I suppose.
Yeah, okay. That's lunch their time. Not you weren't knackered at lunchtime in the UK.
Yeah, no.
So 2:30 you went to bed.
Yes.
And what time did you wake up?
Julia woke me up. She just, Julia, I was aware of someone sitting on the bed, but I didn't know it was her. And then someone touched me. I still wasn't aware that it was her. Fucking anyone couldn't just wandered in off the street and saw me and sort of sat down and started stroking me. Happens. Could happen.
Yeah, it could happen.
But it was her, anyway.
It's another good. Friendly burglar.
Friendly burglar said, oh, your coffee's on the table. Oh, okay. Right. I said, what time is it? She said, 9:45. Oh, fuck. I mean, it's to rush.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I ought to have, like, soup. I've got no food on the fridge. I ought to have soup for breakfast. Fucking disgusting.
I agree. That's rubbish.
What flavour soup?
Oh, it's all beans and stuff, which would be nice. Different time of the day, probably quite nice.
Yeah.
First thing in the morning.
You had beans and coffee.
Yeah.
So much hot liquid, mate.
Yeah, that's right. And an apple.
And an apple.
Sorry, just cool it down.
Yin and the yang. So I'll get the apple in.
So that's what? Over 7 hours sleep, though, is that?
Yeah, it's not enough for me. I said to Jewel, I can't fucking go on like this.
How much sleep do you need?
I need about 10 or 11.
What? That's so much for a grown up. That's what you need when you're a teenager.
Yeah, I know. I'm still growing. I think too much. I'm always muttering. Jewel says, I have inner dialogue conversation all the time. Sometimes I do my German characters. I don't know Jewel is in. I'll start going, ah, yeah, yeah, you know. Fucking Schweinhund.
She must be.
Yeah, but then she came in without notifying me. Like, oh, fucking hell, she pops around. What's going on? Oh, I just doing my
it's
character.
It's just the
Fuhrer. Just doing my character. It's just a weird excuse.
Just pretending to be Hitler.
Talking of weird things, you and me went for dinner last night.
Yeah, that's right.
I ate a pizza and you were eating some pasta.
Yeah, yeah.
And about half my pizzas ago, you finished your pasta. You stopped the waitress and ordered a tiramisu.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's weird.
I don't fuck about in restaurants. No, yeah.
But I was like eating my thing and you stopped. Yeah, can I get a tiramisu? Like, you just did it like it was, we're in one of them like all inclusive hotels or something.
Yeah, yeah. No. I want to go in there because I eat the same dishes all the time. So yeah. I know what I want. I don't look at the menu. So I come in.
No, that's not. Can I just say that's not quite true? Yeah. You went.
Can you read it for
you
me?
Can you read the menu for
yeah,
me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think
I'll
have that. So you did. So you basically just.
But I still ate one of the dishes I always eat.
You did?
Yeah, it's like a selection of about four.
Yeah.
So it's the chicken thing and then a certain pizza. And then so I go in there. They usually hand me the menu. So I don't need it. I know exactly what I want. I'm fucking this. So I don't have
still
to
quite
wait.
A weird thing to someone's doing a restaurant.
Yeah, I don't have to wait because if you, you have to pretend.
So before you sit on the table, you often tell the waiter as you're walking, can you get me that?
Yeah.
But even if you don't have to rush anywhere.
Yeah, that's right.
You just can't be asked with the whole
going through the
pageantry of sitting there.
Oh, yeah, then you look at the menu and I've got to sometimes pretend to look at it just to fucking please them and go, oh, yeah. I'm actually fucking looking at it. I'm trying to fit in.
You are like an alien that's trying to fit in with humans.
I read this fucking menu, which I don't need to read. I don't want to read, but I do it just so I look normal.
Yeah.
Do you ever ring up the restaurant before you come in?
And that's a great idea, though.
You should ring them up and go, I'll be with you in ETA 10 minutes. Yeah. Can I have a chicken pasta?
I'll probably get delayed on the bus and I'll turn up and it'll be fucking cold or something.
Yeah, that's true.
So then I. As I'm finishing my main course, if the waitress comes up,
I think you hadn't even finished your main course. That was it. You still had like a few spoonfuls of pasta, and you went, "Can I get a tiramisu?"
That's right,
and the woman was just like, "Yeah, all right." And then she like saw how much I had, and him was like, "All right." And then she brought you the tiramisu. She must have gone, "This is
were
all
you
over."
Still eating your pizza when the tiramisu came.
Yeah, I still eat my pizza when the tiramisu came. It came, and then she was like, "Do you?" And then I think I sort of finished, and then she went, "Do you want a dessert?" I was like, "Nah, it feels weird now to have a dessert." When do you get Deliveroo, mate? Have you had a Deliveroo? You mean you order from like a restaurant like that? It'll be a driver will pick it up. You pay £3 extra.
And they bring it to
they
house.
Bring it to your house and you never have to leave your house.
Yeah, depends what route the food takes, particularly with roots.
Oh, you've got to be like, can you avoid any cemeteries?
Yeah.
If it goes through a cemetery, won't it?
Well, I don't think it'll go through a cemetery.
Probably not. No, you might take a shortcut through the cemetery.
On a moped.
Yeah, well, it's not like an 80s fucking movie.
That's right.
Speaking of that, though, the other revelation I got yesterday was I said to Julia, who joined us later, I said, Trevor got 48 Jaffa Cakes as a present. I go, oh shit, did you forget to take them home? And then Trevor went, yeah, I know. What do you mean? Hang on, you didn't forget to take them home?
So hang on, that's it. For this was last episode.
Yeah, we gave you some Jaffa. Trevor bought you 48 Jaffa Cakes.
Yeah, and they're still sitting over there.
And then I said, are you not taking the Jaffa Cakes? You said they're too heavy as you walked out the door.
Was that?
Which is absolute bollocks.
Yeah, right.
Because four packs of Jaffa Cakes isn't a fucking steel anvil.
I just did like nearly 300 pounds on a leg press.
Yeah, so you can carry four packs of Jaffa Cakes. So what's the revelation?
Because yesterday we were going, he goes, I might just give him to the homeless. And I go, Trevor, that's so generous and I feel so unlike you. Then I found out it wasn't him being generous or unlikeful. The reason he didn't want to take them was because he thought Hannah had bought them and taken them back on the tube. So they'd been on the tube. So they'd been contaminated by the underground. I said, I think she probably brought them in like Tesco's.
Yeah, Tesco's around the corner.
Oh, that's all right then. Yeah, no. What happened, the tube is one of the filthiest places on earth.
I went down there
breathing out soot. There's germs, cunts coughing. And it's like a hospice, that thing on. And so I thought, I don't want to, anything that goes on the tube, I don't go near it.
What about all the food you buy from supermarkets has been driven in trucks down motorways in big trucks?
It's sealed.
Yeah, but it's still blowing out. Fumes can go
there's not a bloke in the back coughing over it. Really,
the driver or the guy. Yeah, what I'm saying is, I'm not trying to make you feel.
Yeah,
what I'm saying that,
I won't eat anything.
But it's also been on the tube. Even if it's been on the tube, it's been in a pack, in a sealed packet, in a
plastic as well.
Yeah, I know, but it's all over the box, whatever, microbes. And once we open the packet, they just go in. They've got forms of locomotion. I don't really got public transport.
Forms of locomotion.
Yeah. So I always say to Julie, when she comes in, wash your tube hands.
Wash your tube hands.
And she goes,
tube hands. Carl famously on our other podcast doesn't actually wash his hands after he masturbates.
Oh, really? After he masturbates?
Well, yeah, not all the time.
Really? Okay, all right.
It's my stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it is. Yeah, yeah.
It's been in my body. It's been sealed. You did one of the finest machines on the planet.
Your balls, you got tube balls, though, mate. They've been on the tube.
I wrap my
balls in tinfoil before I get on the tube. Often don't wash my hands after a wee. Don't mind. It's my piss.
You can drink piss anyway. It's not that bad, is it? It's only if you get dehydrated.
You can drink piss.
Yeah, but don't drink it if you're dehydrated because it's full of, concentrated. Yeah.
Then you do. It's like when you have strong squash.
If I'm drinking it, I'm not drinking it for nutrition, to be honest.
That's right, you have
probably
to.
Probably just on a night out and something's gone terribly wrong. Or in the mountains, like the Andes.
It's not like when you're a kid, going to your mate's mum's house and she asks how concentrated you want your squash. It's just someone's pissing on you, you can't. Is that what happens sometimes in those... We'll talk on the sixth episode about the fetish club, but
is there a hydration
level that the people get to where it's like?
Well, I don't see a lot of people drinking water and they're just like pissing in each other's mouths and carrying on. It's fucking appalling. Yeah. Stuff, really.
Does it matter though how hydrated the person weighing would be?
If you're on the receiving end, I drink loads of water.
I reckon my piss is probably quite full of electrolytes.
But if you're really dehydrated, piss is really toxic.
Okay, it's good. Tip of the day, guys.
Dying from piss overdose. And then the other thing you told me that cracked me up last night was you told me about your mate who sold his house.
Yeah, he did.
Because he's not someone we've spoken about before.
No.
Is this your mate? Oh, you told me about this guy when we went to the football.
Oh, did I? Yeah, maybe he did. What was his last name? Mark Slater. I think that was his name. Yeah, and he was a DJ in Canberra, very, very popular. Yeah,
it's a good DJ name. Mark Slater. You listen to Mark Slater.
He had that real DJ voice as well. Yeah. They all sound the same. He had that. He's very cool. He was very popular in Canberra. But then he came, unfortunately for his career, he came into contact with myself and Dub, particularly Dub. He suddenly became very animalistic on air and lost his job. He got the sack for being fucking too outrageous.
Yeah.
So anyway, we used to have these big debates about humanity and how we're hunter gatherers basically, and anything that moves away from the hunter gatherer existence is not a good thing. It's unnatural.
Right.
And somehow Dub convinced him that the fact that he had a job and was living in a house wasn't natural. That wasn't in keeping.
It's just the weirdest prank.
Wasn't in keeping with being a hunter gatherer.
And
we didn't think anything about it. And I went back to Adelaide And then this bloke really took it seriously. He thought, that's right, I am a hunter-gatherer. What the fuck am I doing living in a house with a conventional job and all this kind of stuff? So he gave his house away, right, to some fucking idiot. He gave his house away and he got whatever worldly possessions he had.
He gave his house away. The bloke who got a free house is not the idiot there.
Oh, no, that's true. Yeah. It was a woman, actually, a German woman. He let her take over the mortgage, basically.
Who is the German woman? Just a random...
Just someone he met in a bar, he won a house.
Best drunken night ever. I got a free house.
He had about 10 grand to pay off in his house. It's worth probably $800,000 now. He can just take over the mortgage. It nearly paid off.
Yeah.
So she got the house for nothing.
Whoa.
And then he got whatever few possessions he had, he sort of put in a pram. And he pushed the pram from fucking Canberra to Sydney, from Sydney to Melbourne, from Melbourne to Adelaide. Dropped in to see me. He stayed in my caravan for a few nights.
He literally turned up at your front door with a pram and stuff. Like a baby's pram.
He pushed it from Melbourne. And
travelling companion of the hunter-gatherer.
Baby's pram with belongings in it. Imagine being that woman, wouldn't it? I said to Dub,
why did someone stop him? His life's fucked now. He's ruined. He's probably suicided by now. And Dub said, what are you doing?
Became homeless.
Yeah, became homeless. That's right. So I said, he's not a hunter-gatherer. He's still fucking probably on the dole. I don't know, scavenging. And then he rocked up at my place, completely insane. I'm there with my mum and dad. And my mum and dad didn't like most of my friends because they're all mad.
Fucking pram geezer turned up.
Breath of fresh air.
It was like an absolute queue of dysfunctional fuck people waiting to get into my caravan. Yeah, so.
Your friendship group is fucked when you're the nailed on winner living in a caravan in your mum and dad's garden.
Yeah.
So, like, all these
you're the one who's doing all right for himself.
Yeah, they're all like, one day I hope I can be doing like Trevor's doing.
And then, that last time I saw him, he was just pushing his pram up Clare Street, my street, on his way to fuck knows where. I think he went right up to Gold Coast from there. That's a hell of a walk.
What was his name?
Mark Slater.
Mark Slater. Let's do a shout out. If anyone knows Mark Slater, he's probably yeah. just still walking around with his pram.
I did get some report on him that he was living on a fucking boat somewhere. He must have gone fucked
out. Proper hunter gatherer.
But he's probably gone fucked out of gatherer. Shit, it's too fucking hard.
Yeah.
And, that is, I mean, it's annoying that your mates, but to be fair, to just be, he's the one. It's his fault that your mate said he basically lost his job because your mate said to him.
Yeah, but he shouldn't have believed any of it. Or
well, yeah, that's right. But that bloke was vulnerable. You know, and yeah, and then I suppose we can bend. Not so much me, but Dubs, you know, very philosophical.
Still not convinced Dub exists, by the way. Yeah. I'm still thinking. We discussed it in the past. It's a Fight Club.
This is my alter ego.
I think it's your alter ego.
Yeah.
One had the ruler, and I think one may be writing the fucking results down. I don't know.
So this week's group task, we went to a blues bar. Went to Ain't Nothing But The Blues on Kingly Street London's West End, and I can't remember the name of the band we saw, but I mean, you like a bit of blues.
Yeah, I love blues. Yeah, I do. Yeah,
but
yeah,
none of us were that taken by the band we saw.
No, they're pretty ordinary, weren't they?
Yeah, well, yeah, pretty crap, actually.
Yeah. It was like you had a bunch of fucking people who hadn't played their instruments since they were kids, and they just decided to get together on that night.
And also, it felt like, apart from, there was one guy, the harmonica player, who, he was the only one I felt like really was into the blues. The other ones were...
I
didn't buy them at all.
Yeah,
but the other two... Too busy wearing hats.
The other two were dressed like they had the look. And the guy on the harmonica, as I said, he dressed like a student on a night out. He had like a t-shirt on.
But
he was having a good time.
And he's also, he could play a mean harmonica.
Yeah.
I didn't like the bass guy wearing fingerless gloves. I'm like, come on, mate.
Yeah.
What are you trying to, trying to impress?
It's not bloody, what's it called? Oliver.
Yeah. They were doing loads of just soul covers and trying to make them a bit more bluesy, but it didn't work.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the thing. I didn't like their song choice. I mean, I liked their songs they were covering, but not in a blues bar.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I also liked how they were down at the end of the bar and we were sitting down the other end on some, we had seats, which was full, so it was good. We had seats, and then we went to Trev, do you want to stand over here and watch? And he went, no, I'll just watch it on the telly, on the screen.
The CCTV.
You watch it on the CCTV.
Yeah, I could be fucked. Yeah, I mean, Robert Johnson, you know Robert Johnson, he wrote 29 songs, and they said he'd written a 30th song, and they went looking for it.
Yeah.
They said he'd made a deal with the devil, because he's so talented that he must have sucked the devil's cock or something to get that talent. Yeah.
Have you ever read that? Because the true story of him is like not as romantic as... So they always say that he just appeared out of nowhere and suddenly was the greatest blues musician in the world, and he sang this song about the crossroads, and they were like, oh, he obviously sold his soul to the devil.
Yeah,
and then like, I think the real story is he was actually a sort of musician knocking around for years, and he played with other people, and he was relatively well known.
It's no such thing as an overnight success.
He died very young. He died 21, I think, when he died. Got poisoned.
By piss.
A jealous husband. I think he was shagging a woman. Husband slipped something into his whiskey or whatever.
I wouldn't know. It's quite a female way
of poison. Yeah, I don't know where you buy poison from.
Well, yeah, where'd you get poison?
Back in the day, though, it was easier. It was
a bottle with like a skull and crossbones.
And you got that one, yeah. He was got some poison.
Apparently, there was a blues man who was so nervous, a white promoter found him and said, oh, I thought it was great, and said, do you want to record an album? And he was so nervous that they had to put him in a corner singing to the wall. He didn't want to face anybody when he played. I don't know whether that could have been Robert Johnson or maybe one of the other ones, Willie Dixon or something like that. Not quite sure. I got called once Geva J. Cruel.
that's a good blues name.
Geva J. Cruel.
Geva, but what's so brilliant about that is like that's not a name.
It's not really a name, is it?
But Geva. Geva Cruel. Geva Cruel.
It's Geva.
Who called you that?
It was a bloke in a comedy club.
The MC?
He introduced me to that. And he
Geva J. Cruel.
That's
that thing of sometimes as a comedy, you sort of forget
who the person
you're bringing on the name is, but you can sort of remember the rough noise of it.
Yeah, but even
so
in your head, you
make up
Geva.
I think what happened, I when they said comedians on tonight, sometimes the comedians write, that might put my name. I sometimes signed it. And when you look at my signature, it does look sort of, way I write, it looks a bit
Geva J. Crawley.
It looks a bit Geverish. And Crook, if I don't see off the K, it could maybe look like an L. So that's where I got the L from. So
Did you go on and reference the fact your name wasn't Geva J. Crawley?
I don't correct anyone. I go, well, I've said it's too late now. So I don't bother.
I sort of agree with you. It's a lot of admin when someone gets your name wrong. You have to be like, my name's actually, you just go,
and also you feel like you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, like you feel like the arsehole.
Yeah, you actually go,
like, how does it really matter what my name is in this situation? As long as they're speak, you know, no one knows who I am.
What's the name, ultimately? Something that your parents gave you. You didn't choose it.
You didn't give a shit.
It doesn't mean anything. It's just some words.
But you, what did you say yesterday as well, Trev? You said about, the blues bar. You're talking about how you've, because I said, have you ever, like, serenaded a lady?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I did, actually. I used to, my mate taught me to play the guitar and I started writing songs. I used to write these quite sort of sensitive songs, maybe romantic, you'd call them. So I thought that might be a good ploy as far as women goes. If I can play them a romantic song and, you know, foot in the door, isn't it? So anyway, I don't know what the fuck. I was halfway through this romantic song, and the woman was like rapt, and I don't know what the fuck happened. I just had an uncontrollable attack of flatulence.
Right, mid-song.
I don't know what the fuck happened, mate.
Did you try and play over the top of it?
Yeah, I was still playing. I didn't stop, but I'm going, fuck, what the fuck happened there? But it, like, killed the mood.
That will kill the mood.
And then another time.
So that she, you never saw her again?
No, I didn't know that was it.
She must have thought it was part of the act.
Hey?
A big fart and sort of
It was a bit unsavoury. I mean, I feel embarrassed talking about
it. There's never been a song that somebody's had a... There's never been a fart in a song.
Yeah, there hasn't, actually. Maybe
just a little
maybe today.
Observation.
Maybe today's the day. Big group fart.
Yeah.
It's weird. Good bass line.
Just in terms of just statistically speaking, how many songs are there ever?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
You thought someone
hundreds, at least.
But my songs seem to fucking give people flashlights, including myself. But
maybe we should record one.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
Let's not do that, please.
I was talking to a woman one day. Again, I'd got my guitar out over her place, and I'm singing one of my romantic songs. Suddenly, she seems to get very emotional and just like left the room. And I thought, fuck, I must have like hit a chord or said a lyric that fucking somehow brought something flooding back. And she like got emotional and had to go out and fucking cry. And oh, fuck me. So I thought, well, my songs are capable of inducing great feeling in people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then I talked to her about half an hour later. And then I said, I didn't mean to, like maybe I touched on a sensitive point in the lyrics of my song. He said, no, it wasn't that. I just had really bad flatulence. I really needed a fart really badly.
So she, why is she admitting that as well?
Yeah, I know.
Could have styled that out.
Yeah. That's sort of women you hang out something. With. And then she said, I had to just leave the house just to fart.
That's so weird.
There's no romantic sentiments at all.
So also, so like when you say maybe your songs induce sort of some romantic feeling. Statistically, they're inducing farts, really.
It's like
another
Brussels sprout.
Two out of two.
Right. Yeah, that's right. The instrument world.
Out of the fucking building up gas. And anyway, I can't remember. I remember once she said to me, how big's your cock? I said, I don't know.
You said you don't know?
She said, can we measure it?
What? This is the same lady.
Yeah, yeah, same woman.
She seems odd, just an odd woman.
Well, she had a sister. And then
this is not one of your parents. Oh, my God.
She was
God,
living with her sister at the time. She said, have you got a ruler? So I had these two women, sisters, and they said, well, measure your cock, you know. So they got.
Well, they give you a ruler?
They got a ruler to measure it.
They measured your dick?
Yeah, yeah.
The two of them?
Yeah,
how big's your dick? You need two women to measure your dick.
But one had the ruler, and I think one may be writing the fucking results down.
Writing the results down?
Where's this coming from?
Hang on.
How have we got here from the
blues
bar?
So I got my cock out, and then they measured it, and I said, you've got to measure it from, you know, the...
underneath?
Yeah.
Where are you meant to measure it from? Underneath or top?
Top, I think. It's top. You can't count your testicles. You can't, can you?
No, I'm not going to measure them as well.
Doing an aggregate of the two.
Yeah, I just want to get a circumference.
The measurement cock, it was reasonable. Not overly large, but I mean,
and
not small.
Not to get too graphic, but are we talking, you got to measure it flaccid or...
Oh, no, it's completely erect.
Oh, so, okay.
Oh, come on. Of course.
If you had two attractive sisters measuring your cock, you'd be fully erect.
I don't know.
I'd be weird about the sort of sisters is weird.
The sort of like experiment.
The fact it's like a Russian fucking like Cold War like.
Yeah. I don't know. If one of them's got a measuring tape and the other one's got a pad and paper.
Oh, yeah, suppose.
I might not get that.
It feels
aroused.
Like in Rocky IV when like Dolph Lundgren's in the thing. They've got all the scientists working out how to make him as like good a fighter as possible. So and I'm with you.
And so it was a ruler.
Were you going out with one of these?
Well, I was on the dole at the time, so fucking no hoper, right? So she was a no hoper as well. But
does she have a job? No, she was.
I was going to be like,
it's weird that she couldn't get work with that skill set.
No.
Hobbies include measuring bell ends.
I think she was pregnant actually at the time. She was pregnant. Not my kid, but some other.
Maybe she was measuring it because she knew how far up the baby was and wanted to check you with it.
Yes.
Oh, come on. This took a turn, didn't it? This episode has really taken a turn.
Just talk me through the timeline of this woman. So you'd play her a song in the early part of the relationship to make
she
her... She farts. And then you're thinking, it's not quite the sort of relationship I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, no.
And what is the, and then the next time, what, you still go... You visit her another time?
Yeah, I visit her again. And
her
and
sister's
then,
in?
Yeah, sister's in there. And then the cock measuring.
They measure your dick?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And then after they get the results, do they put it on a wall? They have like a little... You know, when you were a kid, you measure your height on a wall. Do they have a little... bottom of their door frame? Do they have a few dick heights they put on there?
They just like
that'd be funny when it been measured. Yeah, can you just lie in the doorway on your back? And we'll get a pencil out and we'll just draw a line there.
That's Trev. That's Mark.
Yeah.
Mark Slater.
Yeah. They probably think it was measuring a child or something.
After the measurement happened, did you literally just
put your dick away? And what happens?
Yeah, because I thought, because I was so shy with women,
You weren't that shy. You got your dick out next to a ruler.
Got your dick out in front of two sisters.
Who had measuring implements.
But I couldn't, I had nothing to offer a woman because I was on a dole, didn't have a car, couldn't take them out. I could make them laugh, I was capable of doing that, that'll only get you so far. Fuck, you know, man, you've got to, if they want a family and kids, I can't provide any of that.
I think you're thinking too far ahead, mate. Yeah. I think if two sisters measure your dick, they're probably a fun time for 20 minutes.
And plus, I for me to have sex with a woman, for me to make a move, I have to be totally sure she liked me. So women,
she's got your dick in her ass.
Yeah, I know. But that could have been academic exercise. Fucking exercise.
Oh my god,
doesn't mean they're attractive. Really.
Anyway, that was the blues bar.
I don't really think we talked about blues.
I know, but
But I'm glad we got around to that. It's a lovely new development.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's that little fucking dictator between your legs that creates all the fucking problems.
So now let's listen to some of Trevor's voice memos for this week.
I had a very odd dream the other night. It was, I was in a boxing gym, and in my dreams, I never see myself. I'm, as I said before, I think I'm a lot like a camera. And there was a very tall, sort of a kickboxer, and he was in the ring. And I sort of knew him. I think he'd invited me there, but he was in the ring training or sparring or something. And suddenly there was a knock on the door. So I answered the door, and there was a little bloke came in with an entourage of schoolgirls. And I think it was another kickboxer. And he came in and he called out to the bloke in the ring, "You're a doo-wop." I didn't know what that meant at all. So anyway, the tall bloke who was in the ring,
he come out and he came over to him and he said, what did you call me? And little bloke said, you're a doo-wop. And he just like punched him right in the head. And the little bloke, he got a couple in actually, and there's like blood trickling out of the taller bloke's mouth. And then you know, it was a to and fro as far as the punches go. The little bloke, he was actually getting hit left, right and centre. But he kept on saying, you're a doo-wop, you're a doo-wop, you're a doo-wop. And then the dream ended. So I've got absolutely no idea what a fucking doo-wop is. But obviously it's a highly offensive term in dreams.
Right. Does anyone know what a doo-wop is?
No. It's a made-up insult in dreamland.
It might be a musical
term. I think it's a musical. I'm sure I know it in some sort of musical.
Yeah, it's a backing thing, is it?
A doo-wop
like
band.
Like the Shirelles or something, you know, those groups from the 50s.
I don't know what it is, but it's bad.
Have you had any other weird dreams recently linked to that?
No, I haven't, actually.
You mean no celebs have made an appearance?
No, I haven't, actually. I've been, I think when I was doing the dreams for the podcast, sort of, I was more dream-orientated.
Yeah.
So maybe that somehow fucking, what's the word?
Suggested that you should...
Yeah, I was more suggestible to dreams. Seemed to dream a lot more.
Yeah.
Particularly celebrity dreams. But I haven't had a celebrity dream for a while.
No cameos.
No cameos. So.
Just psychos. Just don't say doo-wop.
Yeah.
Next memo.
I think it's quite interesting to note that the different sexual attitudes by men and women. Men have been basically enslaved by their cocks. Because, you know, the male libido, you just got very little control over it. It makes you do some appalling things. And later, you're remorseful and regret it. But at the time, it's that little fucking dictator between your legs that creates all the fucking problems. Anyway, that's my little 2 cents worth. I just thought I'd say that.
That is what dictator have you got between your legs?
What dictator?
You said you've got a dictator between your legs.
Probably Mussolini.
Yeah,
a bit more compassionate than Hitler. So I've got a Mussolini.
Does it depend on height? Maybe we get the old
ruler out
and work out what dictator you've got based on how many inches you're packing down there.
Have you got a list of dictators?
Favourite dictators?
Favourite dictator? You mean...
If you did your top 5 dictator, you could obviously do like most meanest dictators.
Yeah, most charismatic one is Hitler. Obviously, he's a great orator and a bit of a character.
It's good.
Bit of a character.
Something you say about you. Something you say about your uncle.
I'm not endorsing what Hitler did, but I explained to Hattie, my Chinese ex-wife.
Yeah.
I said, "You ever heard of Hitler? In China?" "Oh, we know him." I said, "What do you know about him?" And she said, "He was very cranky, wasn't he?"
I love to be asking someone, have you heard of Hitler?
But I guess he means in China. Some Western people wouldn't have heard of Pol Pot.
I just thought that it spread to China, which it had, actually.
So he was cranky.
Cranky.
He's cranky.
Yeah. I mean, I'd argue that's a spot on description.
Cranky Hitler. Yeah. That he's really, really mean early in the morning if you wake him up early.
Oh, yeah.
As I said, I'm not endorsing these people, by the way. I realize.
You're going most charismatic. You're on Hitler number one.
Yeah, Hitler was by far the most interesting. Next one, yeah. I'd say, you have to say Mussolini. I think he was probably, you'd have to, historically. I didn't like his speech making. He was a bit too histrionic, I think, is that the word, with Mussolini. He's too fucking,
over the top. Take it down a couple of notches.
Yeah, you think a bit of a wanker.
Is that like your penis? Is it a bit over the top? In the bedroom, it just gets a bit exciting and crazy.
No, but I thought Mussolini had come across a bit of a wanker when he talked. Just too fucking, overtly fucking dramatic. But then it drops off after those two, doesn't it, really? Goes to the next one.
What about
Gaddafi? Gaddafi, Mugabe?
No, they don't on the same level.
They don't live up to the old big dogs.
We got Saddam, maybe. No, Saddam was...
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, Saddam was quite charismatic.
Saddam was all right. He's decent.
Saddam was obviously killed quite a few people as well.
Yeah.
And the other Russians.
Stalin.
I need a Russian.
Oh, Stalin. Yeah, Stalin. Actually, Stalin.
I mean, he's got to be an outside shout for top five.
Uncle Joe.
Yeah.
That's what they call him, Uncle Joe.
That's what you call him in your family.
He's very witty, though. He's very witty.
Well, was it?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I told you I've probably done it before on the podcast about some of his sayings. I've done that before.
His sayings.
He'd have things like, he'd have very good comebacks at the start, and very, very quick. And one of his fucking offsiders came up and said, the people in the West, particularly the media in the West, are giving you a really bad time. They're calling you this and they're calling you that. Yeah. And he said, well, you know, the dogs bark, but the caravan rolls on.
Yeah.
I thought it's a great comeback.
It's a great comeback. Yeah. And if no one laughs, you just fucking kill them. So it's the best comeback of all, isn't it? You just shoot them.
May had some great comebacks as well. He said,
King of the comebacks, wasn't he?
Yeah. Have you got a book of witty dictators on your toilet?
Toilet books.
Witty dictatorisms.
Well, they asked Chairman Mao, what was the French Revolution a success? And he said, it's too early to tell. That's a great line. I'll take that one.
Yeah.
Right, this is the song for the series.
Yeah, normally we end the series on it, but this time we're going one episode early.
The penultimate episode is a song, and what's it called, Trev?
It's called Free Thinking Man.
Free Thinking Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
A bit pretentious, isn't it? But I wrote it when I was a part of the when I was a member of the Atheist Foundation in Adelaide, and had their head branch in Gumaraka. And I joined by mail, and they used to send me literature and little booklets and all that, and then I got really into it and wrote a fucking song about it.
All right.
Well, let's hear it.
It's about. Ideas based on logic and reason separates man from the chimpanzees, but the truth it gives ain't very pleasing to most of humanity. They believe what they read in the Bible, though no evidence supports the claims. An atheist can get sued for libel. A believer can acquire wealth and fame. I'm a free thinking man. Listen to what I say, I'll make you think and understand. We'll make you see a better way. The stronger the lie, the stronger the faith. A thinking mind can't believe in itself. No need for the crutch of belief. The only faith is in life itself.
That was the podcast for this week.
Episode 5, penultimate episode.
Do you know what? We didn't talk loads about the Blues Bar, but it did spark one of the weirdest revelations that two sisters measured his penis. Which is just, I cannot not get that image out of my head of him.
Always a surprise, isn't there? Every episode.
Always a surprise. Always a turn up for the books.
Yeah, but it was a fun episode.
Hopefully he'll take the Jaffa Cakes home this week.
Now he knows they're from a local shop.
Yes, I could take them today or tomorrow, take them tomorrow.
This is Trev just jumping.
Yeah, we're doing the outro.
Outro,
Trev. You're meant to be quiet.
Quiet in the outro.
We put you in the corner, facing the wall. Let us do our outro. Yeah.
But yeah, that was great. And if anyone wants to get a friend involved, just
tell your family.
Download the podcast.
Give us a rating on iTunes.
5-star review on iTunes. And
he's going for a wee.
Okay. All right, see you, mate. That was good. That was really slick, Trev. That'd be funny. We'll leave that in. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Put review on iTunes, 5-star, all that shenanigans. Go on at Babysitting Trev or at Babysitting Trev on the Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all that shenanigans. Let's hear about his erotic fiction next week.
Is that Trev having a piss in the
background? Is that having a piss in the background, yeah.
Okay. Bye. Cheers, guys. Babysitting Trevor is a .. production hosted by Carl Donnelly, Chris Martin and Trevor Crook and is produced by Joel Porter.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter.
Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.